Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Football Talk Now, part of the JC Hawks Sports Network, with your host, DJ Coletta.
And welcome to Football Talk Now. I am your host, BJ. Next week, Maria Ormond, a.k.a. Cheesy, will be joining me regularly each week. Tonight on the show, we're going to have Vince Singletary, the fitness major, who will talk about what players need to be doing before the season begins. Also, we'll have a segment of what cost does it take to be a team owner. But first, I'd like to tell you about myself and how I got involved in women's football. It's a little bit long, but I'm going to play this little clip for you. Played women's tackle football with the Sacramento Sirens for two seasons, 2006 and 2007. I was a DB and on special teams. In 2006, started a blog, Sacktown News, focusing on the Sacramento Sirens, NGL golf, and flag football. In 2007, I started Women's Football Talk, an internet radio show focusing on all women's tackle football in all the leagues. We ran from 2007 to 2012, and some of 2013. Our mission at WFB Talk was to educate, promote, and advance women's tackle football. Co-hosts were Robin, Megan, BB, and myself, and sometimes Nancy and Cassie. In 2008, I started an extension show, Women's Football Talk Continues, focusing on additional shows related to women's tackle football. Some of those shows were Four Quarters with Coach Lee, Carolina Phoenix Coaches Corner, IWFFA Radio, Talking Women's Football, Sidelines with Nance Wernz, Third and Long with Coach Penn, Women's Football Open Mic, Nighthawks Radio, Game Time with Coach Bartley, and Chalk Talk with Coach Kirk Trammer. We also did audio game broadcasts, though we did do audio game broadcasts on WFB Talk as well when we did two games, one in the afternoon and one in the evening. In 2010, started an Exhibition Sixes team. At the time, we belonged to no league. We were the Red Hawk Sixes. Then in 2012, we added NorCal in front of it to be the NorCal Red Hawks. And for the 2013 season, I tried to start an 11-man team in Redding, California. But I had trouble fielding a team, and unfortunately, we had to forfeit the season. July of 2011, moved all WFB Talk Continues program to WFB Talk and changing over WFB Talk Continues site to the Independent Sports Network, which we launched on July 30th for the IWFL North American Championship game. We also did broadcasts on 1,000 mics, which unfortunately lost those games due to them shutting down. In 2012, won the Porter Wilson Award with the IWFFA, International Women's Flag Football Association. In 2017, I started JC Hawks Sports Network and reinvented myself as JC Hawks, JC being Jean Coletta, being my middle name Jean, and the Hawks from my Sixes team. I did the show for a year, and at that time added additional shows, the Fifth Quarter with Coach Johnson, Coach Stone Podcast, Women's Football Success, and we also brought back Four Quarters with Coach Lee. In 2019, I was inducted in the Women's Football Hall of Fame for media honor for the contributions relating to women's football. And now, September 12th, 2022, Football Talk Now, which will have guests and segments. Okay, what I did forget to mention is we also did Friday Night Football Preview, and that was with Deb Gentz. She helped us out do play-by-plays. She was in Los Angeles, so she was involved with the LA Amazons, and then she did some shows for us. One day she actually took a motorcycle and drove to Sacramento and did the Sacramento Sirens game, I believe, with the LA Amazons. And I was actually in New York watching the DC Divas game and the New York Sharks game. So I'm going to play a clip with Vince Singletary, the fitness major. Again, he's going to be talking about what players need to be doing before the season begins. If you have any questions, if you think we missed some questions or you need some more information, you can email me at bj@fbtalknow.com. On the line, we have Vince Singletary, the fitness major. Vince was on WFB Talk three times for us. We also rebroadcasted some of his segments on J.C. Hawk Sports Network, and now he's on our new show, Football Talk Now. He's our fitness guru. Welcome to the show, Vince.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for
having
me.
I'm doing good.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on the show again. I mean, you know, you're our go-to fitness major, our personal trainer. We always come to you when we need advice and answers, and you also helped us when we had the Red Hawk Sixes. You helped our players. You got us on each program to follow, and really appreciate your help all these years.
Yeah, that seemed like ancient days. It's been so long.
It was so long. That was 12 years ago.
That's amazing.
So, before we begin, what's that?
No, again, it's always great though working with you. So,
it's been great working with you as well. So, tell us about yourself and how you became a personal trainer.
So, let's see. I started personal training back in 2008. I wanted to really learn the science and the fundamentals of exercise and fitness because I've been working out on and off for half of my life now. So I knew how to work out for the basic stuff, but I wanted to really learn and understand how to help not just a person like myself or people that are built like me or have goals like me, but every single body. So I went to school and got a degree in exercise science and also got a couple of national recognized certs. And here we are 14 years later, and I'm still going strong, still grinding and trying to inspire many in this fitness journey, to summarize it all up.
Yeah, and you also entered competitions. If people look at the page of Blog Talk Radio, jchawks.com, they'll see your workout and who you are. So you've entered competitions as well, haven't you?
I have done bodybuilding, mostly natural bodybuilding. I've competed in some shows that were not tested, but either way, I've always competed natural. I did that from 2010 to 2013. I also tried out a couple years in American Ninja Warrior, and I cannot beat that wall. I still haven't yet. I don't try anymore, but I never was able to get past that wall. That warp wall was amazing. But it was a fun journey. It was definitely a different style of training. Obviously, bodybuilding is more about full sculpting of your physique in every aspect, in every dimension. Whereas, you know, American Ninja Warrior, it had a lot to do with, you know, upper body, overall strength, and mainly of like your smaller muscle groups like your forearms and your hands, fingers, your hip flexors and glutes and everything that entails with all the different obstacles. Both of them were very fun experiences. I really enjoyed that, and the people that I've come across over those years have been really, really a blessing. I still have friends that I speak to from time to time, from not as much from Ninja Warrior because I only tried that out for like 2-3 years, so I didn't really talk to a lot of people. But the bodybuilding definitely made some good relationships with a lot of other people.
So right now, teams have started tryouts, and we have new players as well as returning veterans. So the question is, what do players need to be doing before the season begins?
Well, I always say when it comes to any type of contest or competition prep, you want to not let off the gas, but you always want to be self-monitoring yourself. And, of course, different areas, different sports have different, you know, things you train for, and they have different levels that you need to be at as far as how to really gauge yourself. Like, I mean, obviously I've worked with you guys before, so to keep in relation to something like football, obviously you don't want to be injured, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you are coming in at peak levels, because you're not doing, you know, if you're getting ready for tryouts, I mean, you haven't, you know, you're just in off season, so you're not having to do any contact. The first phase usually would be to, you know, recover from the season, you know, any injuries you need to rehab and take care of that. So there's various levels, and it all is individually based. You know, if obviously you want to get all your rehab work done and all of your injuries taken care of as soon as possible, and then once you get past that phase, you want to get to the point where you are able to start training. And of course, it all depends on there's different positions when it comes to football. But in the overall grand scheme of it all, the as a whole, you know, you want to work on explosive power. You want to work on body awareness and control. I would say recommending, you know, to do something like a power phase early in all season training, maybe a power strength training, because you want to get stronger. Of course, you want to get more explosive. Some of the things that you have to pay attention to again is your body and how your body's feeling. When it comes to getting closer to where you are now, when you're getting ready to tryouts, you might want to back down off of the explosive training to a degree, because you don't want to risk injuries right before your tryouts. So maybe going to more of a strength phase and or a unilateral stability phase would really help, because a couple things that it will allow you to in those phases, you're not going to overtrain your body like you would with an explosive training program or a hypertrophy or high strength training. You will create that balance in your body overall. That's why I really like unilateral movements, and you can still do some explosive stuff in that. You're just not going to, the benefit of it is you're not going to be doing maximum weight. And you're going to be building that balance, so your left side, right side, upper, lower, posterior, and frontal areas of your body can all become a benefit to you as far as you're finding that balance to where you are as strong or close to as strong on your dominant side as you are on your weaker side, because we all have weak sides and we all have dominant sides. So you want to make sure that everything is working together. And also a benefit of unilateral training is you're having to work a lot more of your stabilizer muscles. So in instance, your stabilizer muscles, like I mentioned a little bit about with the Ninja Warrior, like your forearms, your wrists, your ankles, your knees, your hips. Of course, your core gets work in that as well. Those are all faster twitch reactive muscles that help to move your bigger muscle groups, your back, your legs, even like your glutes, and to help you to get those reacting faster. Because as we know, and sports, and I don't know what you guys do for tryouts these days, but, you know, an instance of shuttles, you think of bench press, you think of verticals, all those require the muscles to react and respond fast. And obviously when you're playing in live action, you don't want to be sluggish or slow on the movement or on the change of direction, because that can cost you, no matter what position, that can cost you. Because although it is, you know, it's a team sport, there are a lot of individual battles that go on when it comes to football and athletics. So you don't want to have the muscles responding slower, because that can be the difference between you getting beat by the person that you're having to challenge, that is challenging you.
Yeah, you mentioned that there are different exercises depending on their position. So, for example, a defensive back and, let's just say, O-line, D-line, what would they be doing that's different than each other?
Well, I mean, when you look at the defense, I mean, look at the line players, they're working in a small box. You know, you're working in a three, maybe 4 yard window. So most of your work is going to be in the trenches. So you're not worried about moving a lot or any type of range. You're worried about more hunkering down or pressing, more explosiveness with strength. So you're the running part isn't a key contributor to you. You're not having to worry about those type of actions. Whereas, a DB, DBs typically start off in a back pedal and or a lateral movement. That's their starting position. So now, your range is a lot further, 10, 20, 30 yards, sometimes even more. And you're working north-south, going diagonal, and at a high rate of speed, and also with high exertion. So they both require a different level of strength and stamina. Mm-hmm. But, of course, when you look at a DB, you are having to run a set of distance. And then you only have maybe a minute to recover, to get back to line and recover for that next play starts. So for you, working on things to help endurance and stamina are going to play a huge role when it comes to that position. Whereas a lineman, yes, you still have to recover. And you have to, recover for the next play as well. But yours is more driven by strength, power. So a lot of power playing is in that. Whereas strength really isn't a necessity when it comes to like a defensive back or safety or a wide receiver.
Okay. So, but what exercises would they be doing as an O-line or D-line? Would they be, like, what would you, if you had somebody that asked you, what would you be telling them to do?
Well, if it's a person that, obviously, of course, no injuries and good, they're good health and no setbacks. Again, explosive movements. You want to think about power cleans. You want to think about presses, deadlifts, squats, lunges, things of that nature. But you want to focus on some stability work. So some single leg deadlifts and single lunges. Single leg lunges, unilateral work. So you want to do a combination of those exercises because, again, cleans, presses, deadlifts can all be done as a power activity. Most of the stuff you want to do is not machine operative. You want to do free motion stuff. So I usually recommend more free motion. All positions, but really so, because you are operating in a functional capacity, and you're not working in a difference between that, say, a machine, is that you are not, machine has, it already has the parameters, whereas when you are operating on a football play, as a lineman or any position, you are not in a mechanical or robotic stance. Is ever flowing and things are changing. So, of course, getting that power, getting that strength, that the output, and a fast hit motion is important. But, of course, again, making sure you are caught on balance, because if you are, you know, you see it all the time, a person catches somebody off balance and is able to just basically push them out the way, even a smaller person pushing a heavier person, because balance and having that stable surface up under you is vital. Whereas you might look at a cornerback or something to be more of a, doing more squat jumps, vertical jumps, still doing like lunges, doing some presses, some cleans, but that's not really a thing that you want, that you're focusing on. You're doing more unilateral work because you're always, again, turning and opening your hips. So you want both sides to be operating at its maximum potential. You're doing more, again, explosive stuff, or you're doing more ISO work, like ISO squats. So maybe an ISO squats with a military press, or you're doing exercises on a stability ball because you want to have all your fast twitch muscles and all your stabilizer muscles operating in its maximal capacity, working hamstrings because, again, you're going to be doing a lot of running. So maybe hamstring pulls or curls with a band or a cable or on a stability ball would be more optimal for those type of people. Side lunges will also be another good exercise because it is operating in a different plane of motion, and it is really opening up your hips.
So how long should the workouts be?
Well, on a typical basis, they should not be more than an hour. And that is stretch. That's including stretch and or warm up. First off, you should definitely warm up, and you should stretch, especially if you have any tighter muscles that are weaker or tighter. You want to stretch those muscles for sure. But I say just stretch your whole body, especially if you're doing like explosive, because if you're doing power, most of the time power is encompassing all full body workouts. So when you're doing that, you want to make sure that you are stretching everything. So doing a full stretching, some static stretching, which is basically a stretch and hold in position for those muscles that are overactive and are tight. And then doing some active and or dynamic stretching as well overall, because, again, you are going to be operating in movement, and you want everything to be loose so that you don't end up straining the muscle, tweaking something, or pulling. Then you go into your workout. It depends on the program you're doing. If you're doing power, it's not going to last as long because that's going to be a huge strain on your tank. So I would say if you did 30, 40 minutes of that, maybe 50 max, as opposed to stability, you can do more like 40, 50 minutes, maybe up to an hour, because it's going to fatigue your muscles a little bit, but it's not going to fatigue them to where they can't recover. The recovery is much faster on that as opposed to a power or explosive strength training workout, because it puts more strain and more volume of weight is being pushed in those type of workouts. So you want to focus a little bit on the workout, and then making sure you get the recovery from that workout.
So how often should they be working out?
Um, You know, I say this all the time because it is so factual. It really, a lot of it does depend on the individual. But in general, if you're doing a full body workout 3 times a week, it's fine. As far as working out with like weights or doing like a power full body program, mixing in another day or two for like yoga and or stretching or cardio would be nice, because it's going to help create that blood flow, which helps send oxygen and blood to the muscles. Doing that is going to obviously deliver the nutrients back to your muscles to help them recover. Now, if you are feeling really sore or sore than normal, then maybe you want to do a more moderate workout, either on the weight day or the cardio. So in general, then with everything entail 4 or 5 days a week, it would be an optimal one. You don't really want to do, now if you're doing stability, I would say that. So if you're doing a stability program, you can do 5 or 6 days, because the recovery isn't as intensive and you're not pushing a lot of weight. So because of that, your body can recover faster, but you should always give yourself at least 1 day to fully rest, because the recovery is just as important, if not more important, than the workout, because you don't want to be working out and then you want to, and you go for the game, and or you go for your tryouts, and your muscles are sore. Because if your muscles are sore, it means they're either tight, they're going to be weak. Just think about if after workout, if you're sore, try to run a mile with sore muscles. It's not going to look the same as if your muscles were not sore. So you want to caution yourself with that. Now, I typically say, I've done that for myself when I'm getting ready for any type of competition, and or anybody that I've trained for whatever type of competition, meets, tryouts, fights, whatever they've been involved in. You typically want to take the last day or even 2 days before whatever you're prepping for to recover. We do not want to do any type of strength training, because you're not going to get any gains that's going to help you for whatever for that competition or for that game or anything like that. So when you look at a lot of athletes, a lot of sports, a lot of times the day before or even a couple of days before is just a walkthrough. They are not doing anything strenuous. They are just, you know, getting more of doing mental prep. Now, again, stretching is really good in that window. Stretching, if you feel that you need to work a little bit more on your recovery or your stamina, you can do cardio. Usually, like more of a steady state, which means that you are just doing a moderate exercise for a longer period of time, typically 30 minutes or above. You're not doing any high intensity training, because you want your body to be recovered so it can be at its optimal level. Because if you're sore, if you're stiff, you're going to be slower.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions that somebody had posed. What if a player struggles to motivate themselves?
And, you know, and that can and does happen. I mean, at the end of the day, we are all human, and life does go on. It doesn't matter if you are a person just trying to get motivated to start back your fitness journey, or if you are a LeBron James or Aaron Donald or somebody at the top of their game. You know, life happens. You have outside factors in your life. You have days where you don't feel it as much. You have days that you don't feel it mentally, physically, emotionally. You know, it all goes back to having a why. And I can't emphasize that enough. Because when you have a why, like why you're doing this, why this is important to you, what drives you, you focus on that. And those mental challenges can debilitate you. But if you have a strong foundation of why you're doing it and why it's important to you, that can help push you. And I say this all the time, like, and say if you're not motivated to go to the gym that day or to go to the park or whatever that workout is that day, then you need to just go anyway. Just go. Because if you get there, most people, especially if you are an athlete, once you get going, that's usually enough to trigger yourself to do more. But even if you just go and did 15, 20 minutes, it's 15, 20 minutes more than you wanted to do. So always, you know, you see people that come, that you see a lot of programs, they have people that come in, motivational speakers, they have fundamental foundation of resources that they have, or templates, or paperwork, or literature that they have come around, and or sometimes people at home they put up motivational quotes or whatever. Again, so I would say in the beginning, first thing first, finding out why you're doing this and why this is important to you and what's driving you, and highlight that in your house, on your phone. Wherever you need to do it, because there's going to be days, no matter who you are, there's going to be days where you don't have the drive or you don't feel motivated that day. Now, if it is a motivational issue that happens more frequent or happens for multiple days, then yeah, that's a good reason to get a fitness coach, a trainer, somebody that can help you. Because that's part of our role as a trainer. That's why you see all these athletes. They still hire trainers all off season. They don't take off and try to do it on their own. Most of them will hire a trainer in the off season. Because obviously during the season you have coaches and your athletic trainers and all that. But they hire trainers in the off season because they want to keep that momentum going. So there is nothing wrong with going out and seeking help. If you don't do that, obviously if you can get another teammate or a partner to go with you to work out, that can help motivate you. But at the end of the day, it has to start with you. That's why my motto is change begins with you. It has to start with you. But there's nothing wrong with going out and getting help from a professional to help push you to get that extra inch, because Every pro athlete that you know that you see on TV or you read about in the clippings has somebody that does that for them.
So another question somebody asked is, what if they don't see results? And I guess that would be see a personal trainer where they can put you on a special program, correct?
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of it depends on what type of results you're lacking in, and it really is so important to document and chart yourself. Now, of course, there's a couple ways. So if it's an issue with your diet, make sure you're writing down and charting your food, or, you know, putting in your app or whatever resources that you use or have to your disposal. Make sure that you chart down what you're doing and when you're doing it. So say if it's a nutritional issue, which it can be, then maybe looking into a dietitian or a nutritionist for some guidance, or even a trainer. You know, if it's a result, like physical results, like if you're not, you feel like you plateaued, you're not getting stronger, or you're not getting faster, you're not getting leaner, then yeah, it's definitely important to look at, maybe look at your programming that you're doing and see, have someone else take a peek at it. You know, you don't want to be the one to sit there and say, well, I've been doing it this way for this long, because when you are an athlete, especially, the whole purpose, what makes you an athlete and what makes you good at your position and at your craft is that your body can respond and recover at a high rate. So you put that into the whole equation of plateauing, your body can hit a wall and or plateau at a faster rate than the average person, because your body, you know, the law of adaptation, where your body adapts to the demands that you place on it, your body will adapt fast because it's used to it, because you've been training it to do that. So your body does not want to, your body wants to be efficient. It doesn't want to struggle. So when you put it through a struggle or strain, like if you start a new program, and especially if it's a program you haven't tried before or it's regimen, it's challenging. But as you go on in the week 2, 3, 4, it's easier because your body is adapted to it. It wants to be efficient. So then it can get to the point, and usually does, if you don't change your routine to where your body is now accustomed to it, and it will not respond the way that it did in the first couple weeks. So it is good to, one, make sure that everything is being documented, either by you and or your coach, your trainer, and then having that dialogue with whoever you're working with, or if you're not working with somebody, to get with someone. Because that is what your trainer should specialize in, understanding how to get you to optimal level and then basically change you up to make you have to start not from scratch, but start back into the struggle phase and to get you built up in that phase. So there's nothing wrong with that. It will happen, but what you do from there is what's going to make the difference, is that change up.
Now, you spoke about nutrition a little bit ago. So what should their eating habits be?
Again, a lot. Going back to the positions that we highlighted, obviously, if you are a lineman, you are, you know, it's safe to say that you are a bigger, heavier person than a cornerback or a wide receiver, and which is you know, part of the game, because you're doing different things. I mean, as a general, to make it simple, because nutrition is such a complex animal, so we've tried to simplify it and give you a base understanding. You should definitely be looking at and eating towards more healthier, leaner type of meat, of foods. And, of course, like if you look at football players, for instance, obviously football, if you look at like pro football players and you can call collegiate football players, you know, you remember back in the 90s, you would see people that, especially linemen, you know, they're big, they're just eating, they're going and they're just eating a whole pizza, two whole pizzas, or they're eating Whoppers and French fries, and they're just trying to put on weight. Well, science and nutrition has evolved, and understanding of how performance has evolved to where it is more important to consume nutritional dense foods, things that are more health-based, because it's going to, one, help to shed some of that fat and help you build muscle, because the fat is not what's moving your levers and getting you to be explosive and powerful. It's the muscle. So for like a lineman, you're going to be you typically will probably be more on a unless you're trying to shed some weight, because there are some that have to shed weight for the season as opposed to putting on weight. You want to be more on higher carbohydrate cycle. So that doesn't mean every day you're eating enormous amount of carbs, because if you do that, you're going to put on more fat. Whereas if you are doing a cycle, maybe 3 or 4 days of a higher carbohydrate typically filled and a healthier carbohydrate, sweet potatoes, yams, brown rice, quinoa, couscous, black rice, black beans, along with vegetables, of course, healthier fat and lean meat, if you're a meat eater. You know, of course, they have vegans and vegetarians and all the different levels that even pro athletes do these days. So it has since evolved in science and evolution with nutrition. Or as a quarterback, you know, you still want to keep sleeping lean, so you may only do a higher carb day, you know, a couple times a week. Now, there are a lot of exceptions to the rules, you know, depending on your age, depending on your body type currently, and depending on what you're trying to do. But if you're trying, but you want to stay on a healthier, lean meat, higher vegetables overall diet or nutritional plan. I don't like to say word diet. Nutritional plan, whether you're in off season or in season. So in off season, real quick though, if your goal is to put on weight, then yeah, you're going to be more on a higher, definitely going to be on a higher carbohydrate diet multiple days of the week. During the season though, you may not be, even though you might, because when you're doing camp, you're doing practice, you're doing games, you are burning a lot of calories on those throughout the week. And so, yeah, you want to find a balance of carbohydrates with the other foods that I mentioned, but you don't want to be on a higher carb loading days as you was in the off season, maybe because you don't want to be sluggish. You don't want to be slow. So it's really finding that balance, and it is such an individual thing when it comes to how to manipulate that and what works best for you where you are in that time period.
Mm-hmm. So also, how do you feel about Gatorade and energy drinks?
Electrolytes are definitely important, especially when it's hot like it has been. Getting your vitamins and minerals are vitally important. Of course, sports athletes, they use a lot of Gatorade. Me, from a nutritional side, I think the only one that I really like, and that's just because of the ingredients, and I don't drink a lot of them myself, to be honest with you. I rarely do, except for like when I'm out and I know I'm in heat, like I'm hiking or mountain climbing, doing things like that. I look at the ingredients and some of the stuff in some of the Gatorades and things like that I'm not a big fan of, but the benefit overall, what they're trying to give you is those electrolytes. And you can get that from a lot of different sources. I mean, Gatorade, of course, is one of them, and Powerade, and, you know, all the different sports drinks. But you can also get that from sources like Pedialyte, which doesn't have the high sugar content that you might have in, like, a Gatorade and some of those others. And the ingredients, personally, I like better than some of those other sports drinks. So, but it all, and then they have, you know, there's other different companies that they have those little powder packs. And Gatorade knows that companies have them too. But there's some other companies that have it that have better ingredients, just in my opinion, from my studies. But there's nothing wrong with taking any of those drinks if, you know, for the purpose of replenishment. Obviously, it's very important for your body to hydrate during season, and even obviously during training. You want to make sure your body, your muscles and your body is hydrated, and you want to make sure that you do have a level of electrolytes and vitamins and minerals, because if you do not, that's where you start to get the muscle cramps, tightness in the muscles, and or strains.
You mentioned that if somebody lived out of state, when we were offline, we were talking, do you have a way of talking to them and giving them a workout plan?
Yes, definitely. Most of my clientele now, and this was starting the transition prior to COVID, but it really took hold, obviously, during the pandemic when people were sheltering in place. And even now, there's still a lot of people that, you know, they bought equipment either over the last couple of years, or they just started finding a new way to exercise. So a lot of them are working out at home, and a lot of them are self-driven. Those people are definitely the best for a virtual program. I do have my website, of course, teamfitnessmajor.com. And I do have a virtual program where we design the workouts for you, and it has a fitness calendar that, so basically you look at like a Facebook meets like a Fitness Pal, because you create a profile like you would like a Facebook profile or Instagram or TikTok, whatever. More Facebook and Instagram. Like you design that, you create a portal and through the website, and it has, you can put in all of your measurements, you can put in all of your fitness assessments, so it's really great. And then you also can log and monitor your nutrition and create a macro plan based on whatever you where you are now and what your goals are. But as I mentioned already, it has a fitness calendar. So we design the workouts and we put them in your calendar, and you can monitor your portal from either the laptop or your smartphone. And it has an app for, we have an app for either Android or iPhone. So either both of them have access to it. And the workouts are in there, and you can either press play and do the workout in real time with, it's like avatar that shows you how to do the workout, what muscle groups it's working. We put in how many sets, how many reps you need to do, weight, if it's weight bearing, we load up how much the weight you should use for the exercise, and it also has your rest protocols. So you can either play it live, or you can just click on the exercise, see what the avatar is doing, and then do your set, and then go to the next exercise, see what the avatar is doing, because it goes through the range of motion that you should be doing per each exercise. So it's really an awesome setup, and it provides people that are not close to me, or that even are people that are you know, comfortable with working out by themselves. It provides them the option and opportunity to do that. Plus, we also will provide you with, depending on which program you decide to go with, either weekly or biweekly consultations, either over the phone and or over like a Zoom or FaceTime, where we can talk about your program, where you are, how to manipulate it, how to push it, and of course, you know, offer you some encouragement and motivation throughout the way. I have clients that I've trained in, of course, the U.S., Canada, Jamaica, Brazil, Dominican. So as long as you have internet, as long as you have a smartphone, we can get you going.
So how would they get in touch with you?
There's a few different ways. I just mentioned the website again. You can go to teamfitnessmajor.com. On there, you can go onto the Contact Us page. Just has you put in your name, contact, and what you're, you know, what you're interested in. And then we give you a call. We do a free consultation. So the consultation is free, typically about 20 to 30 minute process. Talk to you about your goals, what we have to offer, and see if we can make it fit with you and what you're trying to do. You can also call the phone number 916-410-1950. You can call that line, either call or text it directly, and you can get a response that way as well. And like I said, we can do free consultations, and we can definitely help you get to your next level.
That's great. That's really great. Okay, Vince, I want to thank you so much for coming on the air, taking the time and talking to everybody about personal fitness and their health and nutrition. But I want to thank you again. You've always been there for me when I needed you. And I hope maybe you'll be on again sometime.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I mean, definitely. And, you know, we could talk about maybe get together like, during the season, talk about some in-season adjustments, because you know that just like in the game, there's adjustments. So it might be some adjustments in people's training, so we can talk about that and go forward. Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to be on.
Great. That's great. Okay, thank you, Vince, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
Okay, that was Vince Singletary, the fitness major. Again, his website is teamfitnessmajor.com, and his telephone number, which I'll put actually on the show notes, area code 916-410-1950. So I'll put that on the show notes. And also, there's a video, The Man Behind the Brand. If you want to take a look at that, you can actually see that on the show notes as well. I have it linked on there. It's a very good, there's some testimonials on there. Vince talks about, he shows you some exercises that you can do. But yeah, check that out. I have it on the show link. Okay. Next, we're going to have a clip on what are the costs that takes to be a team owner. This was done a little bit a while ago. What are the advantage of, you know, having WFB Talk and JC Hawk Sports Network is when we have shows, we replay some of those clips. And this was Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and he put together what it would cost to actually own a team. And it's very interesting. So I'm going to let you hear that. That's about 16 minutes long, but it's good information. And we'll come back after that.
So let's move on to the third quarter. Third quarter is a little educational quarter. You know, I had my buddy Aubrey Duncan call me today, and he was talking, and I've been talking, and I've gotten a couple of emails. It's actually a topic that's already on an Ing board, talking about teams in your backyard, starting up in your backyard, and reasons why they start and whatever. But I'm not going to really go there. I'm just going to go to the point where, you know, ownership. What is it like? You know, I am unfortunate to be the CEO and head coach of the Las Vegas Showgirls. So I have double duties. But as far as being the owner, you know, it's not as easy as it may appear. It's not as easy as one may think. It's not as easy as just putting $5 up and thinking that, oh, I can start a team. Or it's not as easy as putting up, you know, whatever the league fees are to start a team. There's a lot of things behind being an owner of a women's football team, a semi-pro football team, or whatever type of football team. But the bottom line is you got to have two things. You got to have ducats. Moolah, money, and you got to have a marketing plan, and you got to be able to speak on that marketing plan and get people to buy into your program. You know, as I start working this out, this will be the end of my fourth year, and to be honest, I have spent so much money, personal money, on promoting women's football, not only just for my team, but for the nation of women's football players out there. So it's not an easy task. You know, you're looking at somewhere in the range of $35,000 to easily $50,000 that you're going to put into this thing if you're going to do it right. For those who don't do it right, you might put in $1,500 to $5,000 and think that you're doing it. But that ain't it, you guys. You know, like I said, it's not as easy as one may make it look. It's not as easy as one makes it appear. And it's definitely not easy on the pocketbooks. You know, as I talk to a couple of owners out there and hear some of the people who want to be owners, they can be McDonald's managers. Ain't nothing wrong with working at McDonald's or Burger King manager, Pizza Hut managers who want to get into the women's football game or semi-pro game and think that they're making money. You're wrong. You know, like I said, I'm a realist. You know, if you want to count dollars and cents, we can do that. You know, the bottom line, it takes about $350 to suit a player from head to toe with equipment, practice equipment, and game equipment. And that's pretty cheap at $350. You do that times, what, 30 players? You know, that's a lot of money. You know, and I'm always telling people, well, we'll make them buy this and buy that. Everybody ain't got the money to buy this and buy that. Owners got to come out of the pocket and do some things as well, or else you will not succeed as a team. But like I said, you know, $350 to suit a player up, and you got, like I said, 30 players, you know, just to get started, you're already talking about $10,500. And that's just to suit them up, you know. I've talked to teams, talked to owners. Some owners pay $20 to $25 an hour using practice facilities. Others, you know, get to use the facility, you know, as much as they want for $1,000. But, you know, that's another $1,000. So you're looking at $11,500. And you haven't even played the game yet. You know, so you're $11,500. And we didn't even talk about incorporation or non-profitization or whatever you're going to do to set your business entity up, you know, anywhere from $500 to another $1,500 to do that. So now you're looking at, what, $13,000? And you still haven't played a football game yet. The next thing is you got to get out there and recruit. So you're going to spend another $1,000 just in flyers. So there's $14,000, and you don't even have a team together yet. You haven't even played a game, and you spent $14,000. Then comes joining the league, and you can spend anywhere between $2,000 to $5,000 to join the league. So again, you're already looking at $20,000, and you ain't played a game yet. The next thing you got to do is you got to find a home field, and there's some people that's paying anywhere between $1,000 to $2,500 a game at their field, and you do that times four. And I just use, you know, $1,500 as a good marker. $1,500. So you're talking about $6,000, and you hadn't even played the game yet. So you got $26,000 already, and that's soft numbers. I'm just letting, you know, putting in soft numbers in it. Then you got to travel to those other teams, and if let's take the cheapest mode of transportation, rent a van. You're gonna need three vans, four vans plus gas. You're looking at another $1,000. So that's $4,000 on top of for your travel, so and that's being real cheap. We all know the buses cost anywhere between $1,800 to $3,600 easily, some $5,000 buses. But you know, we're gonna do the van thing. So we already have $30,000 and we ain't even played the game yet. You gotta talk about hotel stay. You're gonna average what, about $50 a room. You're gonna get 10 rooms, so you're looking at $500 plus tax. But I just keep it at $500. You're gonna do that four times. So that's another $2,000. You're looking at $32,000. And you haven't even played the game yet. Now you're talking about advertisement. You're going to go to your local radio station and pay $100 a commercial. You got to do more. You're going to do 10 commercials per game. So that's $1,000 per game of airtime times four home games. There's another $4,000. Now you got what? $34,000, or where am I, $36,000, somewhere around there. I didn't lost my number because I ain't writing this down. And we hadn't even played a game yet. Then you're talking about you got to buy the snacks for the Snack Shack. You're going to spend another $300 on hot dogs and stuff, hoping that you can make $900,000 off of that, you know, triple your profit, triple what you put in. But let's say $300, so that's another $1,200. So now we're looking at, what, $38,000. And you guess what? Haven't even played the game yet. Once we play the game, we got to pay the refs. Refs make anywhere between $75 to $100 a game. So let's just round it off to $100 just to make it easy. Both leagues, I think, require 5 referees. So that's $500 a game times 4, another $2,000. There you go, $40,000. $40,000, and you just played the game. Now, and those are soft numbers once again. You're talking about $40,000 just to get started, okay? Then you flip that. Okay, how much money can I really make? Well, we know it. We didn't even talk about buying T-shirts to help promote your team. I can get T-shirts for $3 a pop, you know, and sell them for 10. But let's say your minimum order is 100. So there you go. There's another $300. So I won't even count that. Let's just keep it at $40,000. How do we make the money back then? Well, you charge your players anywhere between $250 to $1,500 from what I heard. But let's just give it a nice round figure. Let's say you pay, they not only do they pay the $350 to buy their own uniforms, they're going to pay $750. Let's use $750 as a good example. Let's go $750, right? You got $750. How many women we got on the team? We were one of the exceptions. We had 43, 45, 48, somewhere around there. But let's say 30. Again, let's use 30 again. Use 30. And you're talking about at $750 times 30, you got $22,500. So you recouped half your money from your players. You recouped half. So right now you $18,000 in the hole. Now, what's the other way you make money? Snack bar. You'll probably clear $1,000 at the most, and that's a happening snack bar. So let's subtract $4,000 more off of that. You're still looking at, what, $14,500 in the hole. And the only other way you can make money is gate sales. And I've watched women's football for the last 5 years, and, you know, ain't many teams averaging over 500 people a game. It's not many at all. So let's go with the true average women's football game attended game, 250. 250. Okay? We're 14,000 in the hole. Let's say we get 250 people to pay $10. That's 2,250. 2,250. There we go. If you multiply that by 4 home games, you're looking at $10,000 and you're still $4,000 in the hole. Still $4,000 in the hole. Don't make the playoffs unless you're going to have a home game. You know, we didn't even talk about a flight within that regular season. That was all fans, the cheap route. So as you can see, it ain't easy. That's just the financial aspect, you know. What about the marketing? What about the promotions? What about going out and talking to these businesses to help offset some things by getting these sponsors? You know, everybody's blaming the league for not doing anything, but what are the owners doing to find sponsors for their own team within their own region, within their own town? So you can't blame a league for not having a major sponsor. You know, again, I always tell people all the time, my sponsor is looking for a tenfold. If I'm going to pay for a $50 ad, I'm expecting to get $500 in business from that $50 ad. That's the only way it's worth it for me. You know, if I pay $1,000, I'm looking to make $10,000 off of that. If I put up $100,000, I'm looking to make $1,000,000 off of that investment. Remember, a sponsor in today's world is not really hand me, give me, here you go. It's a business partnership. It is something that in return. It's a bartering service. I will give you this, this, and this. You expose me to this amount of fans. But if you're only getting 250 fans to your game, and it's the same 250 fans, after your 4 games, you only had 250 fans come see you play. See, most people think, oh, that's 1,000 fans came to a game. No, it's the same 250. They don't want that same coupon, that same book, that media guide that you print one with all the sponsors in there. You only gave out 250 of them, you know. You're not going to get a fresh 250 after each and every game. You hope to build on it. But the fact is, as an owner, you got to be there. Then you got to worry about the game day. You got to worry about security. We didn't talk about security costs. We didn't talk about, you know, game day operations. We didn't talk about an announcer. You know, there's a lot of things that we didn't talk about adding to that figure. But, you know, we went with a $40,000 figure, and we still $4,000 or $5,000 short. You got to go out there and be politically correct. You got to go and rub elbows with some of the top councilmen and councilwomen in your city and your town. You got to rub elbows with the newspapers and the television news crew, you know, to get them to come and cover your games, you know, unless you're going to hire somebody. And there's not many people out there volunteering their time to be a publicist or a PR rep or a marketing director for your team. So if you want, you get what you pay for, basically. So, again, if you want to go out and spend that money, then go do it. If you can go do it, then you need to go do it, you know. It got to be somebody out there 365 days a year promoting your team. And that's part of being the owner. That's what you are. I wear showgirl stuff consistently. I'm talking about daily. I got my big water jug with me. I got my hat. I wear my T-shirt. I got a little backpack. They got our logo on there. I'm carrying media books with me. I got business cards on me. I am like Mr. Showgirl, you know, and that's how the owners have to be. It is not an easy task. And I didn't even mention that, you know, most folks out there got a 40-hour a week job. So you got to be real motivated, you know, to push the envelope. And there's a bunch of teams out there starting up, you know, hey, to each their own, but it ain't easy. It ain't easy. My mama always told me, ain't a word. And I'm like, yes, it is. If you can spell it, it's a word. But it ain't easy. You know, we got disgruntled players who think it is. And like I said, I'm not one who's against other teams starting up. I'm just talking about a topic that, you know, like I said, in talking with other owners, talking with teams that have players who are leaving and going, hell, I'm one team that has some players leaving and going. And I truly should wish them the best of luck because I know how hard it is to get this stuff squared away and get it done. So, again, you know, hey, life is like that. Things are the way they are. But ownership is not that easy. I don't care if you own a McDonald's franchise. Running a women's football team is nothing like it. You can own a record label. You can see some similarities, but you ain't got to deal with 40, 50 attitudes each and every day, you know, trying to convince them that this is what they should be doing. So, you know, talk to those championship teams and hear them and listen to their sacrifice that they had to go through in order to achieve what they achieved. That's why football is the ultimate sport. Because one person don't make a champion. It takes the whole team, from the tape person to the trainer to the physical therapist to the head coach to the assistant coach to the owners to the management to the fans. It takes a true family, a true network, a team working in harmony together in order to reach that pivotal stage of being a champion, you know. That's what it is, that would it be, and we are winding it up here. You're four quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio, Radio, Radio. Yeah, I'd throw that in there, Remy. That was for you, baby. But
that was Coach Lee of Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I love that guy. You can actually listen to him. He's on Facebook. He used to do the show on JC Hawks Radio. He came back, but then he started doing Facebook Live, Facebook. But that was a very informative clip. I did some pricing. I wish hotel rooms were $50 a night. So, it was a while ago that he did that clip.
And I was also checking out van prices for a 12-passenger van. This is in California now. I'm pricing California, so I'm sure it's a little cheaper where you're at. But I priced 12-passenger van for $863 per van. And then with gas out here in California, I just paid $5.59 a gallon. Because, you know, when you're driving, you don't get to pick, oh, there's an ARCO, but there might not be an ARCO anywhere near you. You're going to pick Chevron or 76 station or whatever is out in your area. So you're going to pay what they have. But I was pricing those. And as far as you're traveling to the four games, you know, I was working out, like, when we'd go to from Sacramento to Seattle, that's an 11-hour and 50-minute drive. And with that, I was just doing 11 hours. I know your teams are closer. They're probably anywhere from 3 hours to 6 hours. But just for, let's just say you played 11-hour games, that's $9,340. And if you travel 3-hour games, that's about $6,800. So, you know, with the gas, 25-gallon tanks, and you just got to calculate all that in. But I was kind of looking at those two things. So it's changed a little bit since Coach Lee did the clip. But, again, I want to thank Vince Singletary for coming on the show. And thank you, Coach Lee. And I want to remind everybody of Vince Singletary's website, teamfitnessmajor.com. You can go to the show page and see that. That's teamfitnessmajor.com. And if you want to email me, you can email me at bj@fbtalknow.com. We also have a website, fbtalknow.com, and that just tells you, so if you want to go back and listen to what's upcoming or listen to past shows, if you can't find it on the Blog Talk Radio website, I have them listed in there. But again, I want to thank, I forgot to mention, Cheesy is coming on the show next week of the Carolina Phoenix, and we'll learn more about her. She was a player. Now she's a coach, and we'll learn more about Cheesy next week on Monday. Okay, everybody, I want to thank you for listening in, and we'll see you next week.